Jabba, this is your last chance. Free us or die.
This is Return of the Pod. And welcome to Return of the Pod, a podcast where we discuss and celebrate everything from the Star Wars galaxy and much, much more. Every generation is a legend, every legend is a podcast, and this is ours. I am your host, Brian Silliman. Joining me is one of the greatest co-hosts in the galaxy, Captain Matt Romano.
Greetings.
And yes, had to tweak that opening a little bit because we're two down our team this week.
Back down to two again.
Yeah, Caitlin Ambush is under the weather, not feeling well.
Yep.
So she will not be joining us this week, but she will be. She has thoughts. She has things to share.
Lots of thoughts. Yep.
She will be back next week. Also, for not sick at all, just getting a little big in the britches.
Yeah. You know, this is an interesting turn
here.
Big in
the Buster Browns.
Yeah.
Is our reprogrammed Imperial Interrogator Droid AZJ0, also called Azu, also not here today?
Yes. And why not, Brian? Why isn't Azu here?
Well, let's say that it has to do with something we're going to be talking about in a little bit.
All right.
A certain show that he has been sitting on this very exciting reveal for a while. Mm-hmm. That he has been involved in this, and he is, in his own mind, and maybe this is actually true, he is a star.
I mean, he's been called worse. I don't know, you know?
Yeah. So we'll get to, if you've seen one of the two Star Wars shows that we're going to be talking about, you know, you already know, but we'll get to it. So he's off, you know, drinking martinis, signing autographs at Sardi's, getting Brazilians.
I couldn't believe it. I can't believe it. I'm still shocked.
Yeah. It's, and he said, he didn't even tell me. He didn't
really?
Even
you didn't know either?
Yeah. No. And droids don't have a union.
They don't? They can work all night, all day. You can pay them whatever you want. They don't really need a lot, you know?
I mean, there's a lot of unfairness there, but there's also a lot of ways to exploit the system. And let me tell you, Azu is taking every opportunity to do that.
Well, he learned from the best. You know, he's been living with you for a long time.
He learned from Matt Romano.
Me too.
Short story long. That's right. It is another Matt and Brian episode.
Hey, all right.
Listen. You're welcome.
Music.
And we're sorry. We're recording on March 22nd, 2023, and we're ready to jump into the latest episode of The Mandalorian.
Oh, Mandalorian.
Woo!
And after that, we're going to touch on the latest episode of Star Wars, The Bad Batch.
They call themselves The Bad Batch.
Before we do any of that, let's go to some news on the march.
News on the march.
In Caitlin's absence, I will be our front desk news person. So two big pieces of news this week, Matt Romano. Are you ready?
Mm. Oh, hit me. Hit me.
Okay. Are you excited for this news?
I'm excited. There was a lot of news this week.
Do you have a fever?
I got a fever.
Oh, you know, it's not a fever, but I'm not feeling good. You know, it's like maybe a cold. I got a cold coming on.
Someone get him a thermometer. Well, I'll tell you. First off, a story trailer for Jedi Survivor.
It's been a long 5 years.
The video game still coming on April 28th. Did you see this trailer?
Oh, this trailer kind of blew my mind a little bit. I might, you know, but I'll wait for it. I'll let you get there.
Okay. Well, here's what we learned. At least what the trailer shows us. Cal Kestis and BD-1, both here. That's no surprise. We also get a look at Seer Junda, Grease, and thankfully, Night Sister Marin, all in the game.
My man Grease.
Yeah. And it looks like he's having some fun.
Yeah, he's always having fun. Grease is always having a good time.
He is playing right out of the Matt Romano rulebook.
Damn right.
It looks like they're on some kind of hub world. Mm-hmm. So I think they've said this too. We're gonna be, the Mantis is back, thankfully, because I love the Mantis.
Oh yeah,
and you're a fan of the Mantis too, right?
I love the Mantis. Great interior. You know, you love really it. Get to love the interior. Beautiful ship.
Yeah.
I also, we say this every time, but I love that wing that, you know.
Oh, I always love me a good wing in Star Wars. You know, yeah.
That big anyway. Flap. We're making the motions with our hands. Nobody can see it, but there's no way to really.
Yeah, you know what we're talking
so
about.
So it looks like in addition to that, there's kind of, they're building up a little, there's a little hub world also, uh-huh. which is nice.
Yeah.
Seer looks like she's building some kind of library, potentially a Jedi library of some kind. I don't know. Merrin. In one scene, you can absolutely see her fighting alongside Cal, possibly using force powers. So
something's going on there.
Yeah, it looked like she was on a mission with him.
Yeah, and I think she's going to be a playable character if I was a betting man.
Oh, man, I hope so.
Yeah, I think that was rumored for a while that you'd be able to, like, you know, switch through some characters in this game. I really hope that's true. It looks like it from the play, you know.
I mean, it would be great to play as much as I love Cal Kestis, it would be great to play as any of these characters. And if that's, in fact, tandem and we could, like, co-op.
Oh, see, like, now you're talking. There you go.
You play Cal, I play Merrin, or I play BD-1, you play Grease, something like that.
Yeah, I'm Grease. That would be good.
I don't know. That would be big fun.
Hey, get your lasers off my lunch.
We learned a lot, by the way, about Merrin in the recent book, Battle Scars.
Battle Scars.
By Sam Maggs. We won't spoil any of it. If you've read that book, though, you know already that Merrin is back in a big way. And some of our hopes, dreams, maybe revolving around shipping between Cal and Merrin. Maybe in the cards, maybe not.
Oh,
I don't know.
Oh,
things are interesting. Things are going to be interesting when it comes to that. Potentially a return to Ninth Sister, Coruscant. Possibly a Sith planet. It could be Moriband. It could be Korriban. It could be unidentified Sith planet. It doesn't look like Exegol. I'll say
Exegol?
That.
Is that Exegol? Yeah. Okay.
I didn't see a bowl of keys. So
upside down pineapples on the wall. I don't know.
possibly an appearance from a High Republic Jedi. Their robes looked High Republic. And which one? I don't know.
So this was my mind blown. I don't even, you know, we all know my history with the High Republic. I didn't get too far in the books, but, you know, I'm a fan. I love the High Republic.
Get too far in the book. In the first book.
The book, you know. I might have read some, you know, preview chapters. I don't know.
You are very, very busy. It's okay.
I'm a busy man, but I was really excited to see this in the trailer. This was a little bit of a mind blown, if I.
A little bit, or was it one?
It was. It was. Fired it off. Tell me, who is this man? How is this possible? Are there stasis pods? What's going on here?
Yeah.
Force magic?
Sure.
What is this?
Somehow a High Republic Jedi returned. I don't know.
There you go. Solved it.
Pick a reason.
Cloning.
They could bring back Maul, Palpatine. It's like, they could, you know, doesn't matter.
I hope it's a clone, and it's all another piece in the clone puzzle, you know, this ancient,
you know
High Republic technology.
At this point, it might be, or it could just be. I mean, Yoda's a High Republic Jedi and still around.
Yes, so, yes, that's fair.
You know, some of them have crazy lifespans. Yeah. I'll tell you who it probably isn't, based on a number of High Republic Jedi who are flat out dead, and and this is not like, oh, they could come back. It's like, no, they are quite literally dust in the wind.
Aww.
So I don't know. That's going to be really fascinating. Best of all, it's not only ponchos for Cal Kestis anymore. We get to choose ponchos, jackets, and robes all in the mix. One photo I saw has him in Obi-Wan's look from the Obi-Wan series with the goggles.
I like it. I like it. Goggles around the neck. He was a fan of the show. He went out and he bought the goggles.
I actually looked up a few weeks ago. I looked up goggles online. I like those goggles because I'm like, what if I just wore those around my neck?
You're gonna be a goggle guy, you know, one of those goggle guys, you know?
No, I'm absolutely not, but I'm like, I just want to wear them and look cool like Obi-Wan, like walking down the street in Manhattan. It's like, yeah, these are my goggles.
You could pull that off, but they have to be like old-timey, like, you know, renaissance fair steampunk goggles. I think that's more your
speed. So concerned with whether or not I could. I never stopped to think if I should. So all of this is making up for a really exciting game, and the real thing here is going to be how fast can we play it so we don't get spoiled by anything.
Yeah, Yeah, that's true. Because like this now more than ever with Twitter and social media, like this game is going to be like TikTok just destroyed for you if you don't jump in right away.
Yeah, it's not quite the equivalent of whenever you wake up, better watch Mando first.
Right, but it's close.
Nobody waits. But depending, this could be, especially if you suck at games like this and falling off of vines and in cliffs like me, it could take you a little while.
Yeah, so, this is going to take me like 20 years to finish this game, let's be honest.
20 years!
But I'm excited.
And then another 20 to finish Light of the Jedi. So everyone's play, and just time. It's like, when is there going to be time? When is there going to be time? So that'll be interesting. But that's coming up, like we said, in April. Here's another bit of news, and I think it's going to interest you, Matt Romano.
Oh,
it has to do with Skeleton Crew.
It's a galaxy far, far away.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. Show that we know everything about. We know what it's about, who's in it, who they play.
Yes.
What the time period is, except we know none of that, except
of that.
Jude Law's in it and supposedly kids or something.
Yep.
This show is the one that just came out of nowhere and is like, what?
Yep.
But directing an episode of it are the Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
Now Oscar winning directors of Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Devlin, I'm not your husband. I'm another version of him from another universe. I'm here because we need your help.
Very busy today. Hold tight to help you.
Fantastic movie. Big, big fan.
Daniels, Scheinert, and Kwan. Mm-hmm. And I love this movie so much. And I love their previous movie. Have you seen Swiss Army Man?
Yes. When I heard that, like, they had also directed that, because I've seen both movies. I just never thought, you know, it was the same people. And oh, man, that's quite a movie.
Listeners, if you haven't seen it, it's also known as the Daniel Radcliffe farting corpse movie.
Whoa! 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 It's moving!
What's happening?
Whoa!
What is that?
It's alive!
What is it?
It's moving!
Oh, God, I'm disgusted.
I think that's the French title, actually. Yeah. In France, that's
Daniel Radcliffe farting corpse movie. No, it is so much more than that. I was surprised at how beautiful that movie is.
Yeah.
Anyway, they are directing one episode of Skeleton Crew. They were approached by John Watts, who is heading up that show. Of course, when this news hit, the internet turned on them immediately. Can you believe it?
I'm shocked. Always.
And accused them of selling out to the corporate machine, to which they responded. And this is from all of their socials. I took it from their Instagram. But they said, it's only one episode. We were approached about it before Everything Everywhere All at Once was even released. And the direct quote is, we love John, love Star Wars, love learning new tech. We love meeting new cast and crew. And we needed the days to keep our health care. So it was an easy yes. They also said that their next film will be an original Daniels project. And like I said, all of that via their socials. So I think this is incredibly exciting for Skeleton Crew.
Yeah.
And... yeah, of everything they said, it's why wouldn't they?
Yeah, why wouldn't they? I mean, isn't that like the definition of, I don't know, success and not selling out if you could just like get to pick your own project? And if you're a fan of Star Wars, to be like, hell yeah, I'm doing a Star Wars. Come on. That's immediately what I would do if I made a blockbuster, mind-bending, Oscar-winning film.
And this is before all the hype. This is before it was released. The Oscars were in it.
Yeah, good for them.
This is John Watts just like them. And they were. Yeah. And as I like the... I don't really know what the word is, but just look what they pretty much say. What's not to like here?
I like directing like duos, Wars? You know, I like directing duos, people that direct like, in pairs, you know,
like the Coens.
Oh, the Russos. Yeah.
I haven't mentioned the Coens in a while and I'm still waiting for them to come to Star Wars.
Yeah.
The Russos are another. Yeah. But they are so talented and people were then saying, oh, that was a funny joke about the healthcare. And I just kept thinking, I am pretty sure that's not a joke.
Yeah, no, that's probably true and also sad. So there you go.
Yep.
Yep.
It's not good.
Not good.
It's not great.
Not great.
Not great.
Not great. Good. Not good situation.
It is not good.
It's not good.
There was one more thing in the news this week about the Damon Lindelof project that he may have left and maybe has not. We're going to wait until we get a little better confirmation on that.
Yeah, there wasn't really any like positive sources about that. Same old, I don't know, sites talking about it, but not really anything concrete.
So we're going to wait and discuss. Also, where we've just it's already a packed news on the Marsh. So either way.
Yeah, and Star Wars Celebration is coming. There's plenty of time to talk about more movies.
We'll talk about that more next week once we get a little more information about what's actually going on.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
And that has been News on the March. With that, we're going to charge into Chapter 20 of The Mandalorian.
Oh, Mandalorian.
Now, this episode is brand new, and we don't want to spoil you for any of it. So we warned that we're about to get into severe spoiler territory. After the spoiler klaxon is heard, spoilers will come fast and loose. To sound the klaxon, he, thankfully, is with us this week. So
yes, yeah, someone is.
our good friend, in a lot of ways, my best friend.
Oh, wow.
Werner Herzog.
Whoa, wow. This relationship is really developing.
I will once again put down my Nintendo Switch Lite. I have been taking a breath of the break to enjoy Hyrule Warriors, but I would like to see the baby. So sound the spoiler klaxon, and what is there, Captain Matt Romano?
There's a clear order in which you should listen to Return of the Pod and watch Star Wars The Mandalorian, Season 3, Episode 4, Chapter 20, and listen to our podcast. I don't think I did that right.
Perfect. It does not keep it in exactly as it is.
Okay.
Hi, Caitlin.
Hey, Caitlin, how are you?
Here we go again. Punch it.
But bounty hunting is a complicated profession.
The Mandalorian Season 3, Episode 4 premiered on Disney Plus on March 22nd, 2023. Directed by Carl Weathers.
Baby, you got a stew going.
Yeah. He's got a stew going.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Directed Episode 4 in Season 2. Directing Episode 4 in Season 3. I like this. I like it a lot.
I like it too. Big fan of Carl Weathers, both behind the camera and in front of it.
He's got a stew going.
He's got a stew.
He is just one of the coolest people.
He really is. He's one of the coolest people on the planet for sure.
I mean, that's not new. We know this.
We know this.
You know me, Stallion.
Yeah, you know this. We all know this.
Still, I in turn, when it comes to fevers, I've got one for Carl Weathers.
Hey, baby.
This episode also written by Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni.
Oh, so yes.
We knew earlier in the week Carl Weathers had tweeted that what this episode was called, and he was directing it and who was working on it. So the hype started building, and we found out what it was all about, and the big reveal that happened was not at all what I was expecting or any of the 20 potential things that I thought it would
be. You know, I heard this a rumor or a hot take. Somebody had this somewhere, and I was like, never. Like, great idea, but they'll never do it.
If I had heard that what the big reveal here, we're going to get to it, obviously. That's what most of this discussion is going to be about. If I had heard that take, I would be like, you're out of your mind.
Yeah.
There's no way they'll ever do that. But I'd be like, I would love that. That would be sublime because it's a perfect mixture. It's not even, not even really fan service. It's not like, hey, remember this? It's just, we'll get to it.
Yeah, we'll get to it.
Yeah. So anyway, let's catch up. At the covert of many colors, Mandos are training and they're sparring. Baby is attempting to use the Force to lift rocks, but Mando has him start sparring too. He won't move from foundling to apprentice unless he learns some Mando skills. So he's matched with the kid who we saw baptized in the opening of the season and will come to learn that this is Ragnar Vizsla, son of Ragnar. Pads.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ragnar Tuck Jr. Vizsla. And he scoffs at Grogu not wearing a helmet, but because Grogu hasn't taken the creed and has not been baptized, he doesn't have to go by that rule just yet.
One does not speak unless one knows. Is that not the creed?
Well, I know.
Perhaps this lesson is for you then.
Right, yeah. Yeah. So So it's get fine. Off his back. Come on.
Yeah. It's like, please. He's a baby.
He's a foot tall. He's a 50-year-old foot tall boy.
I was like, pump the brakes, you snot-nosed kid. So sparring with practice starts begins as Mando and Bo-Katan watch. Encouragement from both. I'm really enjoying Bo-Katan's little relationship with Grogu. Are you enjoying this?
Yeah, she's like, I don't want to say like cool mom, cool, like, you know, girlfriend of dad, cool aunt, you know, she's got something
cool
going
aunt.
On. Cool yeah. aunt. Yeah, okay, there you go.
Cool That's aunt. It. It's kind, Grogu's kind of bringing out the softer side of Sears. When it comes to her.
Yes, and, she is.
Yeah, and I like it. And I also like that Grogu's not getting everything from Mando. He's getting some from another side as well. So we might question something Daddy says. Well, Auntie can, you know, give him another spin on it.
Yeah, Bo's helping out. I like it. I really like it.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying that relationship.
Well, and if I may, I think she's embracing all the ways of this cult of the children of the watch, you know, she's starting to like, you know, getting a foundling is a big deal, you know, she's you know, starting to get into it a little bit.
She dominates it the entire episode. And if anybody in the children of the watch was a little on the fence about her, they are not the end. They're giving her Tony Awards left and right at the end of this thing.
That's right.
And this, and what she does at the end, I was thinking, she knows exactly what she's doing. Mm-hmm. She does another thing that surprised me, but in terms of getting the respect of everyone here, she's not just, she's talking the talk and then, you know, walk in the fill in the blank. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I'm picking
That's
up.
Not
what
a thing.
Down.
So I don't know why. Yeah. You shouldn't know what I mean, but whatever. Baby ultimately is doing the sparring thing. It's darts with paint. So he just gets, he stands there and gets shot twice with paint. Ultimately, then force jumps over Ragnar and then shoots him three times, then jumps back, easily winning, easily besting this little twerp. But then, before we even know what's happening, in flies a giant flying dinosaur, a petrosaur of some kind.
It's a big, stupid
Star Wars monster flying edition. And Caitlin's not here to give us her thoughts on that, but it nabs Ragnar. And I'm... We're all thinking, oh, no, please don't.
Ragnar.
We liked him. And we don't even know his name at this point. It's just like, oh, the helmet kid from the beginning. No.
I'll tell you.
Well, okay.
When this happened, I was really enjoying the episode. And I'm not going to lie. When I saw another stupid giant Star Wars monster, I was kind of like,
why are you still on this planet?
Right. Surely get out of here. Right.
Surely there are many other planets with dusty caves.
Right. Just come on. More of these
also
monsters.
Maybe stay away from that water.
Yeah.
It's don't crazy. Make unnecessary journeys. So it reminded the look of this thing. It reminded me. Remember the bats from the Peter Jackson King Kong?
Oh, yeah. Those things are
very
creepy.
Specific way of opening their mouth or whatever. Yeah. It reminded me a little of that. So they, Paz and Mando jetpack after this big flying bat thing. But they don't have the fuel to reach it. Paz always like, we never have enough fuel to get to its lair. Not a problem for Bo-Katan, however, because she just flies her gauntlet fighter right after it, tracks it to its lair and finds out where it is. Title, da-dum, chapter 20, The Foundling.
I guess they don't have any ships, huh? These Mandos down there, like they don't have any, they're just trapped down there. Are they trapped on this planet?
No, if they have ships, they're just not out. They're just in like a parking garage on like the sixth
level. Can't waste the gas, I guess. Yeah.
And the attendant is gone, so and they don't have the ticket.
Yeah.
So they can't. It's like, look, they had to have gotten here from the big ring place somehow.
Yeah, somebody gave them a ride, and a significant ride because there's a lot of Mandos.
Yeah. There's probably, how many, there's like 50 or something. They got to have some kind of storage closet for all their armor, paint, and stuff. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's a good point. Yeah. At least maybe Bo's was just closest.
Faster. Yeah, exactly.
Faster, better, faster, funnier.
Sure. Got the wing.
And the N1 is there, but I think once Space Davy Jones comes calling at some point, we'll see the other ships.
Yeah, that's fair. Yep.
So Mando, Bo, and Paz and some others hatch a plan to fly close to the beast's nest and climb. We have a very mini holomat planning session here.
I love it.
Courtesy of Bo-Katan's wrist. And if they just blast in, the flying bat monster thing will just kill Ragnar.
Right.
Who's not a foundling. If he has a helmet, he's an apprentice. So even though they keep calling him a foundling or youngling or whatever, I'm like, well, technically he would be an apprentice because that's what they said at the beginning. If he's taken the creed and he has the helmet, he's an apprentice. But
Padawan.
Bo has the most to offer here by far and the most experience. They're off and Grogu is left with the armorer. And Matt Romano, did you get a spooky feeling about Baby being left with the armor? Because I did.
I sure did. I thought it was like, like she's going to ask him some questions or indoctrinate him or something. You know, I don't know. Something bad was going to happen. But I was pleasantly surprised to see that necessarily wasn't the case.
So in the forge, the armorer gets to work. And as was the case in season one, the armorer's forge sets off flashbacks. Only except for Mando, this time it's Baby.
Yeah.
And we get a Baby flashback. And here's the scene. Here's almost certainly what everyone's going to be talking about.
Oh, yeah.
The flashback to Matt Romano's favorite. Yes. Yet another Order 66.
Yes. All right. Put me back in the drama. Do it. Give it to me.
Never enough.
Never enough. There's always another
he
angle.
He wants all of them.
All of them.
Yep, I want all of them.
All of them.
All of them. Clones killing Jedi all around him. It starts off a very similar scene to what we saw in Book of Boba Fett. But this time, it keeps going.
Yeah.
And they're protecting him, babies in his little pram. And you can see he's definitely aged down. He's definitely younger.
Yes.
Of course, he would have to be because it's many years ago at this point. But he is saved by one Jedi. And we always said, well, who's the one who's going to be revealed to have saved Grogu? How does Grogu get saved? Is it clones? Is it the Batch? Nope, it turns out it's a Jedi. Well, who's the Jedi? Is it Opo Rancisis actually doing something for once? Is it Yarael Poof back from the dead? And I'll tell you who. We find out exactly who it is. It's one Jedi. One Jedi who ends up dual-wielding lightsabers and fighting like a champion. One Jedi who gets Baby on a speeder bike and flies him away after a chase through Coruscant. Probably the last character I ever expected to see in this role. The Jedi is Kelleran Beck, also known as the Sabered Hand, played by Ahmed Best.
Everything's going to be all right, kid.
I mean, Brian, do I dare say we do a fire everything for this?
You know what? I was just going to do a mind blown, but yeah, because I couldn't believe it.
I mean, this
the
was
doors
pretty,
open.
Yeah.
The reveal of this, and it was definitely echoing the Revenge of the Sith when Mace Windu enters Palpatine's office.
Oh, man, this is the elevator open. and the tension and like the who's it's going to. They played that so beautifully. Like everybody was on the edge of their seat. Yeah. Waiting to see who was behind that door.
I could not believe it. And you know what? Let me get ready. It's been a while since I've done this.
I mean, I think we just have to do it. I'm going to hold on. Hold on. I'm going to sit down. Yeah. So I'm standing up, you know.
I want you to ready all of our former controls.
Gotcha.
I want you to take every sound of that. Every bit. Every joke. Every stupid gag.
I don't.
Fire every.
I can't fire all the guns, but not all of them.
No, just this side.
All right, fire all the guns.
It was a good one. It was a good one. That wasn't as bad as I thought.
And just just for the sake of, even though we don't really do it anymore, cannon, fire. Because who saves Grogu from the Jedi Temple during Order 66? Keller and Beck.
Yeah.
There's so much to unpack here, but let's go through first who Keller and Beck is. Just remind ourselves and listeners in case they don't know. Ahmed Best, the actor, of course, starred in the prequel trilogy as Jar Jar Binks. This role, Kelleran Beck, also known as the Sabered Hand, was created for him for the Star Wars game show Jedi Temple Challenge.
Will the Padawans be tempted by the dark side or keep their minds focused on the light side of the Force?
It's time to face your Jedi Temple Challenge.
Which is crazy, crazy.
Was just a couple of years ago. It was only on YouTube. I wish they'd bring it back, but I don't think they're going to. And it was so much fun.
Yeah, such a great idea.
I love that show. Get a piece of a radical rock. And he was so good on it. He was so wonderful. But the character wasn't necessarily canon or anything like that, but it was great seeing Ahmed Best as a Jedi. But now, he wasn't part of the story. You know what I mean? That's what
I'm
saying.
Right, right. But dare I say, it was like, it was the first step in a road to redemption for this man.
Put a space pin in.
I'll put
in
a space pin. Sorry, I don't want to jump.
In that, because I have a thought on that.
Okay.
But here he is now, firmly canon schmanon. Here he is in the story of Star Wars. This character that began on a YouTube Star Wars game show a couple years ago. Now Ahmed Best playing Kelleran Beck in The Mandalorian, kicking unholy ass. Not only does he get Grogu out of the temple, he's dual wielding lightsabers, blue and a green, kicking clone ass every which way. He gets aboard a Naboo style ship as Senate guards hold off the clones, and they are both off together, and he survives.
Yes, yes, they leave him alive.
Hyperspace lines. And they're off. And I'm just thinking, okay, well, we're going to find out more about that at some point. Anyway, thoughts on Matt Romano. Thoughts on the use of Kelleran Beck here.
So the Nubian guards there with the Nubian ship, the ship from Naboo. What was that? They're senators, you said?
We know that they're Senate guards.
Senate guards.
The credits, they're listed as Senate guards. And that is a Nubian Naboo-style ship. It's the same model ship that we see in Attack of the Clones.
Right. And it isn't Jar Jar a senator right now?
He's representative.
So I wonder if it's like maybe Jar Jar's ship.
You know, it's because he's like, no, he knows exactly where to go.
Yeah.
Because he says, he's like, don't worry. He knows the ship is there. He knows these guards are kind of waiting for him.
Yeah.
So how does Kelleran Beck know somehow that this was going to happen? Or was he just preparing? He does not seem caught unawares like every other Jedi in the temple obviously was. Oh, there was the glorious shot of him speeding away from we see the full Jedi temple.
Oh, yeah.
He's just speeding away. And now, of course, I'm thinking it's like, well, Reva's having her story start in there somewhere.
Yeah, no, but that's the thing. Yeah, it's like a lot of characters are being born in the fire here of Order 66.
And at the same moment across the galaxy, Caleb Doom is getting shot at by Crosshair.
That's right, yeah. And Ahsoka is fighting off 100 clone troopers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But thoughts on just that? That we've wondered for as long as this podcast has been around, I think, and our old show, who was it? Who is it that got Grogu out of here, or did he just get himself out of there? Now we know, and it's Kelleran Beck. Thoughts on that? This is who it is, Matt Romano, mystery revealed.
Yeah, no, I think this is a great mystery revealed, and for a lot of reasons. It's cool for the story that we have this character that, you know, was charged with protecting the younglings, so it makes a lot of sense that, you know, a teacher would save him.
That's a really good point.
You know, like it just makes a lot of sense. And then like in the real world, this is just, it's the right thing to do what they did with this character. And frankly, this actor for how he was treated after the prequel trilogy.
Yeah. There's a whole meta side to this.
Yeah. There's a whole meta side.
Absolutely right. Matt Romano in terms of the character and how, what we know about him already is that, yes, he is a teacher. he is very good with younglings and that this is what he chooses to do. There's a whole lot to be uncovered here as well. Did they know that Grogu was a youngling to pay very special attention to?
Yeah.
And was he under, was that like his whole charge? Was anything goes down, you get this youngling, this Grogu, and you get him out of here. It's that is your one job if anything happens. Not that anything's gonna, because what could happen? We're all powerful Jedi. But just in case it does. Yeah, it's what could be so urgent?
Yeah.
So there's a lot, if they ever tell us that or not, there's a lot of fun headcanon to be had there.
Oh, yeah.
And the fact that I liked that it wasn't, as cool as it would have been, it wasn't the Bad Batch. It wasn't it wasn't even a fan service-y thing for the sake of, wasn't like, oh, here's Barriss Offee redeeming herself or... It wasn't anything like that. This was just unexpected swerve from nothing, building up this really cool character and making them more entrenched in story. But then when you get to the meta level, which is what you touched on, I want to get back to what you mentioned, redemption. And I saw this take online a lot today, that this is part of the redemption of Ahmed Best.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't agree with that at all.
Oh, okay.
I think this is... Ahmed Best has done nothing that he needs to be redeemed for.
Oh, yeah. No, if anything, yeah, agreed. It's like the fans' redemption, if anything.
And I know that's not how you meant it, Matt Romano.
Mm-hmm.
Because everyone's like, oh, it's part of he's being redeemed, it's redemption. No. Ahmed Best, like you already said, he's an actor. He got hired to play a role. People don't like the way the role was written. They don't like the character. They don't like the direction he received. Fine. And you find the character offensive, okay, but he was an actor playing a role. You have a problem with the way it was written, depicted, anything else. Like, those are George Lucas problems, I believe, anyway. Maybe I'm wrong. I've been wrong a lot, so who knows? He's an actor. He auditioned. He said, come and do this. And he thought, hey, I'm going to be in Star Wars. What could be better than that? Well, Star Wars does what it's been doing forever, as you already said. Bullied to the point of it getting to a very, very, very dark place and came back slowly, started voicing him again on the Clone Wars, and then has all of a sudden now everyone loves him.
Yeah.
Now it's put him on that game show. And now today everyone's like, oh, it's a wonderful to have. And I'm like, no, you remember in 99.
Oh, yeah.
The Ahmed Best and Jar Jar, just the ridicule constant.
Oh, for years. I mean, the jokes and it was a huge joke everywhere you looked.
and just mean and nasty. And and some of it, it's, yes, there are ways to look at that character and it's pretty clueless in a lot of ways. But that is I think take that up with George Lucas.
Yeah, yeah.
Best was an actor doing a job. And you could see in the documentary, The Beginning, which I know we both love, he's just excited and happy to be there.
Well,
and is a talented man.
Yeah, like we have to mention, like, you know, that's like the first CGI character ever in a major motion picture. Like Jar Jar
fully.
Fully. What do you call
it? Co-starring character that's interacting. It's not like an effect or
motion capture. Like, you know, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. It's a first of its kind.
Without Jar Jar, there would be no Gollum.
Yes.
That's for sure.
That's for
sure.
They're
pioneering this.
Yep.
But so who knows? But it's Ahmed Best it's unnecessary redemption on the level like Mando didn't need to be redeemed either.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Like, yeah, that's a good
point.
You've
done nothing wrong.
Yep.
Ahmed Best, everyone's saying, oh, he's getting his redemption. No, he's getting his due. If anything, it's what you already touched on.
Mm-hmm.
The fandom is what needs redemption here.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
And that I'm not exempting us. I'm not saying, but we never, you know, we weren't.
Oh, I'm sure I had plenty of things to say about Jar Jar in 1999.
Plenty. Oh, everybody did.
Yeah.
You know, it was. But did we send death threats?
Right. No. Exactly. Was I going after him? No, absolutely not.
Yeah. It's so that he's even willing to come back at all is something insane. So I love that Favreau and Filoni are just, I think, you know, giving him a big, we're sorry.
Yeah.
More than anything else.
Yeah.
And it's not like, oh, this is a pity cast. He's great.
No, he's great. And the fans want it. Everybody wanted this. Like, you love to see it. This was a smart move. It's also let's not mention it's awesome for the story that he lived, because it opens up a whole world of possibilities for what happens now with him and Grogu up until when we meet Grogu in The Mandalorian. And hot take, we've said this before, but like, this totally opens the door for an awesome episode of Bad Batch season 3. Like, when they stumble upon Grogu and him, you know, it's the possibilities are endless. They can weave in and out of so many stories now for the next how many years leading up to The Mandalorian? It's a great idea. Love it.
No, there's a lot of potential here. And again, I don't think they did it, oh, well, let's just give it to him and he can't really swing a lightsaber, but who cares? He obviously can. He does a great job. He's physically gifted and sells the entire thing. And the entire time, like, this is a badass Jedi master that you do not want to screw around with.
Oh, man, you know, you don't. And now I'm like second guessing the thought I just had. It's like, if he is so badass that if he was with Grogu for long, he probably would have tried to train him a little bit more. So I don't know. I hope they're going to get split ways at some point, but I hope we see a Bad Batch episode first.
So many more questions there are.
So many questions.
Talk looting, I do. Nutty, I be.
And he better talk like Yoda, that's for sure. Come on.
Now, I like that he doesn't. I think it's fun that how many humans are on this show? Not all of them talk.
That's true. They all have different dialects. Yeah, sure.
You've never heard another Ugnaught say, I have spoken. So
that's true. You just hear him say
Yoda's just the rest of Yoda's species is like, oh, it's that one. Oh, talk like him to you? It's like, nope, that's just him.
Just me it is.
Anyway, we just spent a lot of time on that, but that was a big deal. And that
was a big deal.
Not what I was expecting to see this morning.
It's a lot of fun. A lot of fun there.
It's interesting that they're taking this character, the actor who played this character, who was hated in 1999 by everyone, who now enough time has passed and kids love Jar Jar. Kids have always loved Jar Jar. And now the hate for Jar Jar has dissipated, back in a different role that saves a new little comedic relief star that everyone loves for now.
Yes.
How long is that going to last?
I know.
Because the Grogu backlash has already started. Anyway, back out of the reverie, Grogu receives an armor plate with a Mudhorn sigil from the armorer. It is the duty of all Mandos to donate material to foundlings. She says he'll grow into it, but for now, he's just got this big plate in his sack.
Hilarious. This is absolutely hilarious. I mean, how big does he think he's going to get? And it's going to take a while.
You're expecting me to wear this?
Yeah. Oh, it's man.
Like, it's
some bling. It's some serious bling he's got on his chest.
It's like,
what
did you just pick this plate up from a pile of stuff? Anyway, the team, meanwhile, camps at the base of a rock spire with the nest on top. Mando teaches Bo about how Mandos eat with their helmets on.
Yeah.
And she can't take hers off now, we'll remember.
She signs the dotted line. Yep, she made a promise.
If she had taken it off at the end of last episode before she heard that, it would be a different story.
Yeah.
So she just kind of helmet soloed herself into...
Oh, yeah.
She really didn't think it through. Life.
How do you eat when other people are around?
You don't. When you get your food, you go off to find a place where you can take off your helmet.
So, seems needlessly extreme, but okay.
Yeah,
that's
all
what
right.
you want to do.
Yep.
But because Bo is the leader of this expedition, she can stay and eat by the fire. So she takes her helmet off and does so. No issues with Paz Vizsla at all.
No. They're, you can see the respect building, you know, throughout this episode.
Yeah, like nothing. If it comes up later, then okay. But man, I was wrong about that.
We both were. We thought that like Bo was going to be a lot more. But yeah.
No, they're fine. Before we go up to that nest, let's swing over to our biggest baby bay segment. That's right. It's time for Moments with Baby.
Bad baby. Oh, bad baby.
Sorry about that. He's young.
Yeah, bad baby.
There's a lot of them. There's a lot.
Obviously, the big baby moment was a baby reveal, and it was baby's past. That was huge. but they were some other moments.
Okay.
There was Baby practicing force lifting by the beach. We think he's moving one rock, but it turns out to be a crab. And then he moves away, and it turns out they're all crabs.
Yes, and they're all hiding, it looks like, from him so they don't get eaten, because he eats everything. And
yeah.
Pretty funny.
And what a merry mix-up.
Yeah, what a good time. Good times were had by all.
Just delightful. Baby constantly looking back to Mando during the dart sparring, and Bo tells him her father used to do the same. It's because he's proud of you. Mm. And I thought this was, we already touched on this, but I thought that was just his, all of his little looks to Mando, I thought were adorable. And I love that he's so obviously a puppet.
Yeah.
They're doing nothing to cover
it up. Even when he jumps and flips, it's exactly how you would like throw a doll. Like, I don't know. It's like,
and I love it. I'm into it.
Yeah. It feels like Star Wars. Puppet,
and then for the flipping, we switch to CGI, or even if you tried to like make it a little cooler, just like, and maybe they probably do.
They'll get there.
Things every which way. And that's, there's definitely some CGI at work here, and it's so well done. But I like that they're not trying to make us think that, I mean, and I don't, he's very real, but he's real just because the puppetry is that good. It's hard to describe. I don't know.
Yeah, I hear you. He's real. He's in there. He's in the world. It's like, it's right there.
It's the puppeteering and everything. It's absolutely, this whole episode was a new high in Baby adorability in general. He's poised to learn the ways of the Mandalorian, and we're getting closer, Matt, to stuff you've been saying since time began.
Since the first episodes of the original old show. I can't believe it's going to happen.
He's on the road. He's learning the ways. He's learning the darts. He's got the little Fisher Price, my first Mando darts on his wrist.
Yep.
And I know you really want Baby in a Mando helmet. And we know that if he gets to apprentice, he's going to have to take the creed, say the words, and get in the water.
And we haven't even like heard the creed like fully through yet. I feel like every time somebody says the creed, somebody gets interrupted. So
anytime you say the creed, you're going to get attacked.
You're going to get eaten by a big giant Star Wars.
That's
monster.
Why personally, I don't say the creed.
Yeah, exactly. I stick to my own creed. Thank you.
Even if he starts forming words and they're like, okay, you're an apprentice, I know you really want him in a Mando helmet. There is zero chance they are putting his adorable face in a helmet full time.
I mean, I think they will, but they're also going to lift the helmet rule. Like both of those things will happen.
Yeah.
You know,
because
you can't keep him in the helmet the whole time. But like, I feel like he's going to get a helmet. It's going to happen because think of the toys.
I think it's going to be a different kind of helmet where you could see his eyes and you could see his face. They're not going to cover that adorable face.
I think they've sold so much Grogu merch that they need a new wave of Grogu merch. And this is the Grogu with the ears coming out of the helmet. And I don't know. It's going to happen.
But one that can come off and he can like kind of take it off with his little, they can't hear me doing it, but it's
yes. And the question you said this clue earlier, but you know what also applies here is
but your scientists were so preoccupied with whether or not they could, they didn't stop to think if they should.
That's what is happening with Grogu. Like we all say we want him in a helmet, and then he's going to appear in a helmet and it's going to be like, ooh, did we really want him in that helmet?
And it's like, you know what I miss? That face, that glorious face.
Yeah.
The only one we got on my side is the blood-sucking lawyer. Well,
I'm excited to see where it goes.
I'm excited too. And who knows? Who knows this in terms of a place where Keller and Beck can just waltz in the middle of an episode of this show?
Yeah.
Who knows what they're
going to do? Who knows?
We don't. I don't know.
I don't know. I sure as hell don't know.
I mean, they're not ringing me up. They're not lighting up my old cell.
No.
And being like, so Dave's like, years ago, he's like, we're thinking of making Keller and Beck, into this thing. What do you think about that? That's the other question is, when did they decide that this was how this was going to go?
I bet they knew it for a while.
When did they decide this was the character?
They've known for a while, I bet.
Do you think they knew when they created him for that game show that this was happening?
Yeah, I mean, they always they had to have they always since they had the idea that he was in the Jedi Temple, they had to have known. They had to have an idea. Come on. Thoughts.
Is what you said.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't consult me.
Yeah.
Well.
Writing on the back of napkins. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, there's a napkin somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's like, Ahmed Best saves Yoda baby.
We're going to make $1 million.
Matt, we're not just doing this for money.
We're doing it for a shitload of money.
Well, Azu is gone, but there are, aside from canon connections and Easter eggs, we've already mentioned a lot, but just a couple more. Obviously, Keller and Beck during the Coruscant chase, which is a thing in case we didn't get enough Coruscant last week. We see Umati again in Monument Plaza, which we, as I said, we just saw. The Senate guards helping Beck is interesting, as is the use of the Naboo ship. The clones use familiar prequel era gunships, and Temuera Morrison is credited as playing all of them.
All of them.
It's amazing. Fantastic.
So those are the big things. Our team ascends the cliff to get to the nest. There are three baby bat creatures there ready to eat them. There are, of course, other do you see the other Mando helmets in the nest?
Yes, like, I did. Yeah, she's been picking them apart.
This MF's been picking off this covert for a while. The big bat thing emerges thanks to Mandor spots it with his heat vision. Coughs up Ragnar. You see this?
Yeah, I'm surprised Ragnar has like, no damage. No damage.
Yeah, because he's got a helmet. He doesn't have any other arm.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. He's got no like one little on piece of either. Beskar in the helmet. Yeah.
I'm like, what is it, a plastic bag?
Yeah, his boots look like yeah, like some teeth went through his legs. You know, like they're perfectly, I don't know.
Here's the thing with this big bat creature is its stomach and throat is just a Ziploc bag of dry Cheerios. So he's fine.
He's fine. But it's actually like, quite comfortable
cold, in there. Cold, instant Ragnar. I was like, okay. I'm still thinking of Keller and Beck at this point. And here's where we get the reveal. Paz just goes running and says, he's my son. He's running for him. He's my son. That's my son. His name is Ragnar. And it's a good thing there's no stomach acid on him. So a merry chase follows. And I thought this is just wonderful choreography. The action set piece, the Carl Weathers promise. Ragnar is in the talons of this thing, of this bat monster thing. Paz is in the mouth at one point and shooting fire in the mouth.
Yeah, yep, they're going
probably
for it.
Toasting up those dry frosted Cheerios. I'm going to get off that. Okay. Bo and Mando flying in to help. Ultimately, Mando ends up saving Ragnar, free falling again for the second time in 2 weeks. And the big water monster from the premiere of season 3 returns to take out the big flying bat thing. And I couldn't, in this moment, I couldn't help but think of Jurassic World.
Oh, Jurassic World. I thought of something else.
What did you think of?
There's always a bigger fish.
Oh, I like yours much better.
But much better. But I also like Jurassic Park. Yes. That poor woman that got eaten by the dinosaur.
Of that moment from Jurassic Park because of the awful treatment of the lovely and astonishing Katie McGrath.
Yeah, that poor woman. And horrible.
No, there's no reason to treat that character like
no
that.
Way.
And there is, how dare you treat Katie McGrath in that way? How dare you?
Justice for her, please.
Justice! We demand the extradition of McGrath. We demand justice. But yes, Matt Romano, I agree. There's always a bigger fish. No, that's Obi-Wan. That sucked. I'm losing. Okay. I'm losing the plot. I need to touch grass.
Yeah.
Okay. Back at the covert, Bo is very popular, as we were already talking about. Saving a foundling is the highest honor of the creed. And hey, if we thought that Grogu is the foundling in question in terms of the title, not so fast, because here come three more. The big baby birds have been brought back. The big bat baby birds.
They're laying the Game of Thrones on super thick in this episode between Name of the Kid, Ragnar, and now they got dragons to fly.
They're saying that these three bat baby birds are foundlings now.
Bat baby birds.
Romano, yeah, bat baby birds. Bat baby birds. How literally is this going to play out? And is this going to be my favorite runner now? Are we going to see these things get armor? Are we going to see these things get helmets?
Oh, man.
Are they going to take the creed?
Don't tease.
How far are they going
with
this?
Don't tease me with a good time, Brian. How dare you?
I mean, do you think we're going to get a little nutty here?
I think we're already getting a little nutty.
Even more nutty. We're already there.
This Mando clan is nuts. All right.
Now you want to get nuts? Come on. Let's get nuts.
Living on this hell planet. They got no ships. Their armor's falling off. You know, I don't know what's going on.
No ships. No money. We've got probably a coup in the making. A Yoda baby. So why not bring in three bat baby birds?
And they're giving meat to the bat baby birds. And some poor Mando is just like, I could have eaten that meat.
It's like, that was for me. So go off a mile away, take my helmet off and eat, and then walk a mile back.
I got to kill another dinosaur.
Now you gave it to the bat baby bird who doesn't have a helmet yet. Or you think these things are going to actually say, it's like it's time for them to say the creed.
You know, I think we're going to see them. We bestow upon you. I don't know. We're going to see these things chasing TIE fighters. What's going to happen here with these things?
Oh man. That's an excellent
happen.
Point.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
Anytime you have a squad of warriors on flying beasts fighting soldiers in ships, in mechanical ships or something, that's so interesting to me.
Well, think of it. Well, you're gonna, on one side, you're going to have the Mythosaur and these three baby bat birds flying around. Then the Empire's going to have a Zillow beast and like 50 Star Destroyers. Come on. Yeah,
which we have that coming up in Real Talk. Somebody wrote to us with something based right at that. Anyway, let's finish up this episode. Okay. Bo talks to the armorer. She needs her pauldrons replaced, so she opts to have her familiar night owl on just one. And on the other one, she has to get the Mythosaur. And the armorer says any Mandalorian may wear that sigil. And this, for me, was a little cool retroactive Boba Fett bit of headcanon, where, because he wears the myth, we see him in the
That's
original
right.
trilogy.
Yeah, he's the one. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we didn't know it didn't mean anything there. It was just a sign on his thing. But retroactively, I like to think that was Boba Fett in some small way rejecting his clone heritage and embracing Mandalorian heritage.
Yeah, that's cool. I stamp that. That's cool.
Especially because Django didn't have that sigil on.
That's right.
But Boba does. So I thought that was interesting. Bo then tells the armorer that she saw the Mythosaur. And I didn't expect, I thought she'd keep this a little closer to the breastplate, but she doesn't. The armorer plays it off like, oh, you were lucky and you saw a vision. And she's like, no, I saw that thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the armor's like, yeah, that's interesting. And she just adds well, this is the way. And that's that. And I'm sitting there, and then it's ba-bomb. And I'm like, dude, you know so much more than you're letting on. Is this why Bo gave her the reveal to kind of test this? Was this a dumb move? What are your thoughts on this, Matt Romano?
I don't know. The armor is like two steps forward, two steps back. Like, I trust her. I don't trust her. I trust her. I don't trust her. Like, I know she's a very cool character and she's going to have a cool ending, beginning. I don't know. Something cool is ahead for the armorer, but I just can't. I don't know if I can trust her. I feel like
I don't
she knows a lot more. I know you don't trust her, but
I don't trust her at all. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There's something we talked about as well. There's really more sinister there with the armorer, you know?
Yeah. And it's brilliantly played, wonderfully written, but there, I think that's kind of Bo dipping the feet in a little bit more. It's kind of, I thought it was interesting that she doesn't play on that this is a secret. She just full on tells her. She doesn't tell anyone else.
Yes.
She just tells her. And the way the armor, her reaction, either she was being guarded or she wasn't very surprised.
Yeah.
So in which case, why she sent Mando there? I don't know. There's a lot. Or we're just really overcomplicating it.
We're probably a little bit of both. A little bit of both. I mean, there's got to be some kind of reveal for the armorer. I mean, good or bad. Something's up.
Yeah. It's Keller and Beck.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
He's playing everybody now. Yep.
Anyway, final thoughts on this episode, Matt Romano.
All right. Quick hits for final thoughts on the episode. Number one, you briefly touched upon this earlier, but man, the spoilers for social media, you know how I hate this.
Don't go on there.
You know what? You can't go on there. And this one, thank God I watched the episode early this morning and I didn't go on social media because this one was spoiled right away. Disney, I know why you do it and it benefits us for it coming out early so we can give you this show. But man, release this stuff at 9 p.m. Let's all watch it together at night. Oh, come on.
One thing, Matt Romano, I don't think Disney cares about us, quote unquote, giving them this show.
Oh, well, not Disney. Giving everybody else the show. You know, makes it easier for us.
Oh, I thought you meant the show that we're currently recording. Yeah, yeah. And nailing. Yeah. No. Yeah. I mean, it's just don't go on social until. But the problem is, if your job requires social media, and a lot of jobs do,
kind of screwed. Yeah. Yep. What a shame. Anyway, another thought. Paz Vizsla has a son. It's confirmed. And again, I have questions about a lot of things.
Who the mom is?
I'll leave it at that. Who the mom is?
Or maybe he's a foundling. Maybe he just found him. It's like, you're my son now.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe. Okay, that makes a lot more sense. That'll put me at ease.
And it's like, and now you're Friar Tuck Jr.
Yeah, I just need to know the helmet situation. I have a lot of questions. All right, moving on. Where is Christopher Lloyd?
Great Scott!
Huh? Remember, he's supposed to be this season, huh?
I was thinking that just this week. I had forgotten that he would be showing up.
Yeah, I'm waiting for it. He's coming.
Who do you think he's going to play? Do you think he's going to play someone that Keller and Beck gets help from with Grogu along the way?
I don't think we're going to see any more of him this season. I think that you should just prepare yourself.
Who's Christopher Lloyd going to play? I hope he's...
I don't know.
I hope he interacts with Baby and Mando. It isn't like in the... not that there's anything wrong with Dr. Penn Pershing, but I'd rather see him over here. What if he's Grand Admiral Thrawn?
What
are we going to say? That some pergola doctor has to throw us off to the other side of the galaxy. They'll throw us in the jail as a heretic or something.
All right. Anyway, that we'll see who he is. We'll see who he is. It could be Thrawn. That'd be interesting. My last thought.
He's not Thrawn.
It's not Thrawn. My last thought. I'm getting a little nervous about Boba Fett, and I think we're stumbling towards my Boba Cot of this series. We got four episodes left. I really hope we see him.
So
when we get to see him.
So what you're saying here, if I'm correct, is you're like the doomsday clock of Boba Cot is just
it's ticking towards midnight, my friend.
And just ticked a little closer,
a little bit closer to midnight here.
You know.
Where's my Boba Fett mission? I mean, come on. I don't know.
Man, I know.
Where's the phone call?
That we just made this up and nobody cares and there are no consequences, but I'm worried.
Aren't you? Aren't you concerned?
I am.
Well, anyway.
At least we're having fun.
Oh, yeah, somebody is. Caitlin, come back soon, please.
Yeah, please come back.
Thong's days, am I right?
Well, with that, we're going to go to break, but we're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. Don't turn us off.
Hey, Brian.
What?
Just saying hey.
All right.
While I have your ear, have you checked out returnofpod.store recently?
No.
Well, you should. There are a number of fine new items for sale.
Is this a commercial?
It is a commercial. Merchandising.
Merchandising.
Merchandising! Merchandising!
Do you like our different artwork based off of which show we're covering each season? If you visit the store, you can buy mugs and other wonderful things with that artwork. Bad Batch, Boba Fett, Obi-Wan, collect them all.
I don't want to.
Yes, you do. Don't forget about t-shirts and hoodies. We're adding new versions all the time. Want to really get the mini boats message out? Return to the pod.store is here for you.
I wish Poison was here for me.
The store doesn't sell that. But it does have notepads, stickers, and everything else I've already talked about.
Is this over?
Visit returntothepod.store today. Get caught up in it.
This is Vanessa Marshall, and you're listening to Return of the Pod, a podcast about Star Wars. May the Force be with you. And as always...
Many boats.
We're back, and that's going to take us into covering Season 2, Episode 14 of Star Wars The Bad Batch.
They call themselves The Bad Batch.
This episode is also brand new, and we don't want to spoil it for you, so we're going to sound the spoiler klaxon one more time. And here we go into Bad Batch Roundup.
Good soldiers follow orders.
Cavalry has arrived!
Woo! That's right, buckaroos. Welcome to Star Wars The Bad Batch, episode 14 of season 2. It also premiered on Disney Plus on March 22nd, titled Tipping Point.
Yes. And this is what a tipping point, Brian. Oh, what a tipping point.
Oh, man, it is such a tipping point.
I'm tipped.
Yeah, you're tipped.
I'm tipped.
Things have stopped being polite, and they're starting to get real. I loved this episode.
I mean, the Bad Batch has gotten very good.
The Bad Batch is just on a tear. Yeah, it was still last week's episode was nice and a nice respite and beautiful and a little more low stakes, but then it's just right back in with this. Oh man, and everything's, you know what it is? Everything's coming together.
Yeah, they're doing a beautiful job at threading this whole season's narrative to the end here. Yeah,
they really are. It's and I got to say the opening. I cannot praise the animation and the artistry of the show enough. The opening image, I straight up thought it was a live action show. I forgot that this was even animation.
Yeah,
especially when you're watching them back to back, back to back. Some people might say I should. Yeah. But others,
you shouldn't.
I shouldn't.
Yeah, right. Others can,
but others, you know, you do you, as you know, some droid once said. So some clones are being locked up because they have questioned orders. This is now becoming a little more widespread. They are shipped off from Balmora, and then they are rescued by Echo.
Woo!
So Echo is back.
Yep, we knew he was coming.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to keep him out for long, but he's not alone. He's with another clone named Fireball and two returning clones. We got from the season one Bad Batch Ryloth episodes, Hauser, he's back, and he's on Team Echo. And not only that, from the Clone Wars and Rebels, Gregor back.
Amazing. Well, you knew he was there. Come on.
Well, I heard, I was like, there's no other clone that sounds like that. And then in the credits, it said Gregor. I was like, Yeah. So great to have them. The imp flunky poison pills himself, but Echo gets some of the data from the ship. They then go to their base in the lower levels of Coruscant, where Senator Chuchi debriefs them. Echo needs to get the data decrypted, and there's only one guy to go to for that. Cut to Tantus. Crosshair is still being interrogated and tortured by Emery Carr and Royce Hemlock. Have a name much? And they offer freedom and a clean slate for him finding the Batch and Omega.
They are in possession of something I need. The kid.
They also, here's the secret. Here's why Azu isn't here. They use an interrogation droid to try and get this info out of Crosshair. And that Azu played that part.
You know, I was going to say it looked exactly like Azu with, you know, all his medical accoutrements.
That's
on,
because it is Azu.
Yeah. Get out of here.
Yeah. Remember, because before he started, he joined our show. I made sure to take all of his needles away from him. Let's just say he was getting a little, you know, stabby in the night.
He had like a spoon. Yeah. If I remember for a while.
Yeah. Like a spoon. It was kind of like you remember Mbop with the paddles.
It was
so much worse. Yeah. And but then he gets this job, and all of a sudden I see him. Well, he's gonna go. He's like, oh, I'm gonna go away. I'm going away for a couple weeks. Doesn't tell me where. And I honestly didn't care because I'm like, fine.
Wow.
You know.
Sure. You need space.
Please go.
Yeah. Yeah.
He comes back and he has the needle. And I'm like, where?
What?
Who gave you this? And he's like, oh, you know, I picked it up. I can't do his voice, but he's like, oh, I picked it up. And I was like, who would have given him this needle? So I find out today, I was like, wait a minute. It looks just like, I was like, is that you? He's like, yeah, that's where I was for 2 weeks. And he's like, I'm going to parties tonight, so don't wait up. So this doesn't look like a zoo. This is a zoo.
That is a zoo.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, so, you know what? He did a fantastic job. I mean,
he did.
I'm scared of him.
I can't even get mad of all of us on this podcast that a zoo is the first one to actually get cast on Star Wars. I don't want to say it's bent in his favor because he is actually a droid.
Well, there's not many of them around, you know. There's not a lot of them around.
No, there's not a lot of Dr. Balls left in the galaxy.
Yeah, exactly.
So I guess there's still hope for the three of us humans, but
okay. Well, we'll
anyway,
see.
So that's where Azu is.
That's where Azu is. Okay.
For the two listeners that are still with us, Crosshair escapes. Did you like this Crosshair's escape sequence?
oh man, this was amazing. And even more amazing when, like, you realize that he's not really trying to escape. You know, he's just,
he can't.
Their escape is impossible.
There's this great look on his face where they say it's like, you can't escape. There's no, and he realizes it's not a, you know, one way out, but he can't, there's no way he can escape, but he can do something else. And you see him hatch the plan. It's just brilliant touch of animation. And he goes to the communications center and he sends out plan 88 and adds, you have to hide. He's then caught by Hemlock. And then we cut to pa-boop. The batch is fitting in well. More talk from Shep about whether they'll stay or not. Hunter says soldiers don't put down roots.
Is that all you are? A soldier?
Which I thought was a fascinating line from Shep. And I'm no, that's not all they are. Omega is getting flying lessons from Tech. But here comes Echo. And they're all happy to see him. Omega gives him a jump hug. I wish Caitlin was here to evaluate this hug.
Hugs, big stupid Star Wars monsters. It was a banner week for Caitlin.
And for you too.
But
another Order 66.
Of course, everybody wins this week.
And there was stuff I liked as well. So you know,
Zoo
is in it. You know, big week all around. Tech decrypts the data and finds out about the Advanced Science Division, which is no good. Dr. Hemlock, who was tossed by the Republic because he's awful, finds out all about him. He also sees Crosshair's message. Says it is Plan 88, which means something to the batch, gets that they are being targeted, and gets that, you know, they're not only after them, they're after Omega. And Hunter is thinking, is this a warning or is this a trap? Who do you trust? And I totally think it's a warning. I think.
Oh, definitely.
I think Crosshair has flipped.
He's flipped as well.
Do you think so?
And he knew he couldn't escape. And all he was trying to do was get a message out. Like he didn't think he was going to get farther than that.
Now, this is redemption necessary in terms of Crosshair. Mm-hmm. And I love to see it. I think if we see him redeemed, and I think we could see him redeemed and sacrificing himself, theoretically.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, we also predicted last season that Hunter would sacrifice himself.
Right.
They've done this to us before. I mean, it would be cool to see him redeem himself over the course of a season three. But, you know, we don't normally get to see a lot of people that like get so entrenched in the Empire. We don't get to see a lot of those guys live on. They kind of just they don't get
unless
to sit
it's Alphabet
there.
Squadron and this isn't.
Yeah.
So it's someone like Crosshair in Star Wars. More often than not, you get redeemed and then you die immediately.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know.
Say Alphabet Squadron and like Reva aside. It's, well, obviously Anakin's the biggest example of that. Anyway, the rest of the drama is on Tantus. Hemlock has a holocall with Tarkin, suggests sending all non-compliant clones to him. He's like, just send them to me. It's like, I'll work on them. I need more grist for the mill. I'm like, you suck. Hemlock sucks, right?
Yeah. Yo, Hemlock.
It's a hot
Hemlock
take.
Totally. It's a hot take.
And also, so we know that there's a summit happening. And also, I have to pay homage to a friend and listener of the show, David, who always live tweets our episode as he listens to it. It's like the hottest take of all. Apparently it was either me or somebody a couple episodes. And I think the exact quote was, the Empire sucks.
Yeah. Oh, the Empire is. Yeah. Just
and he's like, that's the hottest take I've ever heard.
Yeah.
So he's not wrong. So this week's entry into another really scorcher is Hemlock sucks. I don't like him.
Hemlock sucks. And let me tell you about Hemlock.
It's not just what they gave Socrates to drink so he'd die. It's also.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, it's poison.
Hemlock is totally sucks. But I love that he's played by Jimmy Simpson. I don't think we've talked about this, but Jimmy Simpson from Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
And Westworld and a whole bunch of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And a whole bunch of other stuff. When he was like doing the whole interrogation of Crosshair, trying to get him to call Mega, all I could think of was,
you will call her!
Just in that voice, I don't know. I just love me some Jimmy Simpson.
He's really good.
He's really good.
Wonderful actor.
Yeah, and he's doing a great job at Hemlock.
Yeah, yeah. Hemlock, it's not just it's not just poison anymore, even though he kind of is. The character is kind of poison, isn't he?
That makes sense that they would name him that. That makes a lot of sense.
So he gives Crosshair, it's like, guess what? More torture! Torture! And we'll see how long this lasts until you break. So this is all building up to, it's all come together. And I think correct me if I'm wrong, Matt Romano, but it sounds like everything in this season is going to culminate in whatever this summit is that Tarkin's talking about.
Yeah.
If all the main players are going to be in one place at one time, then that would...
Little summit at Mount Tantus, maybe?
Yeah. Maybe some skiing thrown in there?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
A little downhill, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
a little hot cocoa at the top, you know?
Yeah.
It seems to be that's how it's going to... Because between the Senator Chuchi, you got Rex and Echo, possibly Cody. You got the whole Crosshair already being there. And then the Batch and Omega on Pa-boop! As well as lingering issues with Sid. There's a lot in the mix here. So
yeah, I'm worried for what Sid's going to do to the Batch. I'm worried about Senator Chuchi. I don't think it's going to work out well for her. I'm a little worried with the Empire.
Yeah, we don't see her in Rogue One, do we?
We don't see her in Rogue One, so I'm a little worried about her.
What is she proposing? Nothing, because she's not in the scene.
But things I did like about this episode, loved Omega getting her flying lessons from Tech, who is slowly just becoming one of my favorite of the Bad Batch.
Yeah,
I can't believe
she's
saying.
She calls it the tick turn. And
the
he's
tick
like,
turn.
I kind of like that.
Yeah, yeah. And I like you, Tech. You know, don't
it's
make me like you too
big
much.
Big
you know.
Season for Tech.
Big season for Tech. A lot of development.
But didn't you also
not so much for Wrecker?
I thought of you, no, because Wrecker is living it up on Paboo.
Yeah, yeah, he's happy in Paboo. Like he, but Paboo. I'm not even gonna try to do it.
So everybody's doing it.
Everybody's
got the fever.
But yeah, no, he's loving it there. He's getting full meals. He's doing a lot of work around the town. You know, he's loving it. People love Wrecker. Everybody loves Wrecker.
A cock and a walk, baby.
He's loving it.
But yeah, but other than that, like I'm very excited for next week's two-parter end because I think we're in for some real treats next week.
Are we ready for a Mando episode and a double Bad Batch all in one episode? No, but we're
no,
going to do it anyway.
No, it's going to be one hell of an episode next week. That's
and
for sure, for a lot of reasons.
Bet your Bat Baby.
Bat Baby, what did we say? Bat baby bird, bat baby bird.
You can bet your bat baby birds that we're going to have scorcher takes such as the Empire sucks.
Yeah, the Empire, they still suck, believe it or not. It's
yeah,
crazy.
They still do. Yep.
They still suck.
Still
they,
bad.
They find new ways to suck all the time.
Yep. New, and it's like, oh, we're not sucking again. No, you're finding all new ways.
She's gone from suck to blow.
Ready, Kafka? And that has been Bad Batch Roundup. And that's going to take us into real talk.
I'm looking forward to having some real talk with some real folks.
On Apple Podcasts, a hello to DexDino12. And thank you for your nice words and your five-star review. We always like that, don't we, Matt?
Oh, we love the five-star review.
Yeah, we do.
Thank you.
It's very nice. It also means that our ratings aren't going to continue to decline, which I always
No, that's all this podcast runs on, like we said before, is positivity and self.
On validation.
Exactly. There you go.
They also wrote, in reference to Chapter 19 of Mando, Bo's maneuver in the dogfight reminds me of Top Gun.
I mean, it does. It does. Very, very cool Maverick-esque moves there for Bo. Cool.
So what do you think of that?
Or shall we say... Maverick has some Bo-Katan moves, you know.
Or I'd rather say Bo-Katan has Starbuck moves. What do you hear, Starbuck?
Nothing but the rain.
And
there you go.
Maverick has Starbuck moves.
There you go.
So at the bottom of this is Maverick.
Is Maverick.
And then every Katie Sackhoff character above that.
Okay, all right, fine. I'll go with that.
Okay. On Instagram, Uncle Krez, he wrote to me. Personally, to me, thinks that Bendu Day, more about Star Wars days of the week, to them, Bendu Day is probably Wednesday because Bendu is, as he says in Rebels, the one in the middle. I thought that was a great take. And I agree
love
fully.
That take.
Yeah.
I love that. That makes sense to me.
Nothing I add. I think I wrote back. It's like, yep, I love that.
Yep. Cannon fire. Yep. There you go.
A belated hello to Kyle Adams, who appreciated my reference to the Crossings Outlet Center a few episodes back. I knew at least one person would get it. Many boats, Kyle. A belated hello and thank you to Miguel Hernandez. Thank you for your very, very kind words. And I apologize profusely that it's taken me so long to mention them on the show. On Twitter, Max Rom wrote, "Great. I'll never be able to read that episode title in a normal voice again." And I assume he's referring to the title Pabu, also known in some circle as Pabip, which most listeners, as far as I saw, they actually liked this.
I mean, nobody complained about it, yeah, but
I was shocked. I expected our review a one star. It's like the bit is, it sucks. And it will now because it's another episode of it.
You're asking for it. Yeah.
Them to plummet for men in coats to show up at my house with tranquilizers. But no. And that what I was forgetting is that no one really cares.
Yeah, no, that's it.
Also on Twitter, Clifford Mollering had a theory. Grogu will ride the Mythosaur to save Din from the cloned Zillow Beast. You touched on this before.
I did.
I absolutely cannot believe that is actually a possibility.
I mean, I can see it happening. It would be crazy, like a little Godzilla like versus Kong sort of thing in Star Wars. Like,
well, because not only do you have the Mythosaur, now you have three bat baby birds.
Yeah,
right. Right.
It's getting weird out here. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, things are getting weird.
Hey, the Star Wars show is weird.
It's been weird,
man,
since 1977.
I mean, we haven't seen like this type of monster on monster action. So that could be cool, you know, and they're always inspired by different movies and art forms.
And I know you love a little monster on monster based on your YouTube search history.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I like me a good kaiju story, you know.
I mean, it's not, it certainly wasn't the first. I love kaiju stories as well and kaiju movies.
Yeah.
It's modeled on them. It's not, certainly, obviously not the first, but Pacific Rim as an homage to those movies. I love Guillermo del Toro's Pacific Rim. I love that movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
So if you look very closely in Pacific Rim, you can see the Zillow Beast in the back of one shot.
Great concept.
Except
for
not
that
at
movie.
All. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's great. It's Guillermo del Toro. Of course it's great.
Yeah, come on.
And there was a lot more real talk to get through, and we're going to get to it next week if we can, because next week it sounds like it's going to be packed. But we're going to keep
gonna
sifting through
episode.
It. Thank you to everybody who writes in. We see all of it. We read all of it. And we're just doing our best to get as much of it mentioned in the show as we can. With that, we're going to buckle off, but join us again next week for continuing coverage of The Mandalorian.
Oh, Mandalorian.
And in this case, the two-part season finale of The Bad Batch.
They call themselves The Bad Batch.
Wow. Crazy week next week.
Man. Crazy. I can't believe we're here already at the finale of The Bad Batch.
That really zipped by pretty quickly, didn't it?
Zip right by.
Right by me.
In the meantime, you can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, and TikTok at Return of the Pod. You can visit our website at returnofthepod.net, where you can leave voicemails. Visit returnofthepod.store, where you can buy all kinds of merchandising.
Merchandising!
Merchandising! Merchandising!
Support the show at buymeacoffee.com/returnofthepod, and you can also find us directly. Matt Romano, you can be found where?
You can find me on Twitter at Matt Romano, MattRomano.
And I can be found on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and that's right, my ever-growing Letterboxd, where we're just having so much fun.
They're having so much fun.
Everyone. The kids are having so much fun over on my Letterboxd in particular. All of that is just at my name, at Brian Silliman. That's at B-R-I-A-N, S as in Sky Guy, I-L-L-I-M-A-N. Stretch out with your feelings and share your thoughts. We love hearing from you. Subscribe, leave a comment, give 5 stars if you're feeling generous. Snoke them if you got them. Take it, Sheevy. And remember, hope is like the sun. You only believe in it when you can see it. You'll never make it through the night. Many boats, and be the spark.